financial consequences of the pandemic and our loss to city revenue. And then we will get to the subject you're all, or I assume most of you are here for, and that is the police budget. And then I will ask you to, with the people who are visual, you can raise your hand. I think there's a way for you to also raise your hand in the chat section, but I'll try to get to as many of you as possible. We have a common council meeting at 7, so we can't go forever. Oh, look at all these people. Anyway, so Heather, are you there somewhere? Yes, she is. Heather? Let me get Heather here. She's... Okay, Heather, you're on. Heather, can you hear me? Heather, can you hear me? Where is she? We're waiting for the treasurer. Who seems to have disappeared from the participants list. Oh, yeah, duh. Sorry about this, but we'll get moving as soon as we can find Heather, the treasurer. Ah, here we go. There's Heather. Heather? Heather? Sorry for this delay. We've never had 41 participants for a finance committee meeting before. And I don't see Heather again. She must be having problems getting in. Great. Hello, Eileen? Yes. Okay. What's your phone number? Are you doing it by your name or your phone number? Right. What's the number? You're not showing up, unfortunately. I don't know why. Neither is Heather. Right, no, that's what this is. It's from the... I have no idea why she can't get in, or you. Wait, I think, oh, there's Heather right there. Okay, Heather. Unmute. Okay. Okay. Heather, are you there? I see Heather's here, and she's not mute. Ask to unmute. Heather, unmute yourself. Heather, are you there? Have you checked your... sound on your computer. Why can't I hear, Heather? But people can hear it, but I can't. Now, that's unusual. Okay, let's figure out what's going on here. Why can't I hear Heather? Do other people hear Heather out there? Well, okay, Heather, go ahead.
We look at are the different elements of parking revenue. So you can see that actually that should say through May actual, not April actual, that's my mistake. But we're a little over 40% of the year through. And you can see if you look at the third column, which is the actual year to date, you can see that we're only about 22% of our total budget for 2020, and we're at about 22% versus where we were a year ago. So in other words, we would like to see that number be roughly the same as where we are year to date, 40%. So at this point, we've lost approximately half of our parking revenue for the first 5 months of the year. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into the other elements. So what I've started to do is to compare year-to-date versus year-to-date. This is something that has to be done manually, but I think it's important to understand how COVID is impacting everything here. So again, you can see that for the first 5 months of 2019, for these four revenue streams, we had $334,000. And at this point, during this year, we're down to roughly $179,000. So in the first 5 months of the year, we've lost about $155,000 in revenue on those four parking based revenue lines. Can I share the screen? I don't know. I can try. Hold on. Can people see that now, or?
Nope.
It looks like I got kicked out again.
Hello? No, but Heather is coming back in. She got. Yeah, you're on. Oh, okay. What number are you again? 929? Okay, I'll unmute you. Wait, did you get off? Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay, unmute. You're unmuted. Okay.
Thanks.
Now we're waiting for Heather's reappearance. Well, there's Eileen.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. It's picked me out three times now. I think it's probably just because there's so many people on.
48 to be exact.
Yep. So the last time I tried to share the screen, it crashed me. So I'm not going to attempt that again. But I will talk to the data, and I'm certainly able to answer any questions. So apologize for that. Okay, so another thing that we look at on a regular basis are building permits and fees. And we're pretty much in the exact same situation on that as we are with parking revenues, which is that we'd like to see ourselves at about 40 or 45% right now at this point of the year, and we're at closer to 30 or 22, sorry. So again, seeing the impact of the COVID and the restrictions and the closing of businesses in that area as well. So year to year from 2019 January through May versus 2020 January through May, we're down about another $30,000 in those two categories. We've been trying to do some projections of high side, low side revenues. Right now, we are looking at the actuals for May came in actually extremely close to what our projection was, so that was good. While we're looking at it on a cumulative basis, we're still looking at a gap of somewhere between potentially about $700,000 to $1.8 million drop in revenue versus the prior year. To give you an idea, that's somewhere between, 8 and 14% of the total budget. That's pretty much all I have on that, because obviously we've been working on some other issues for the people that are here and involved, so I don't know if anybody has any questions on that.
Any hands? You can also do it. Excuse me? Who was that? Oh.
That was Eileen. I was talking to myself.
Oh.
Sorry.
That's all right. So, Heather, the next part of your report was your estimates of the actual budget for the police department. Do you want to explain why it's different than
Sure. The
actual line? I mean, many people have sent us emails where they've listed the police budget at $3 million. As you and I know, being both members of the Board of Estimate, that what in fact we spend on the police is much higher than that. And you've done a rough estimate here of what the actual financials for the police are, and you've come up with the figure of roughly $4.5 million. Do you want to explain that disparity?
Sure. The first thing for everybody to understand is that all the financial reporting that the city does is dictated by New York State Office of the State Controller. So they tell us how we're supposed to record different expenses and different revenues. They provide what's called a chart of accounts. If anybody knows anything about accounting, that's basically how you identify your different revenues and expenses. New York State requires that we report expenses like building expenses as a separate building category. Retirement contributions are reported as a separate benefits category. Health insurance is provided as a separate health insurance benefit. Workers' comp, same thing. It's yet another benefit. And then if you're looking at something like municipal insurance, it's actually literally called unallocated insurance because it does not get allocated to different departments. Having said, so that's why you see when you look at the police department budget, that is what we are prescribed. That is how we are prescribed to record and report it by the state of New York. what we've done is we've tried to go through and pull some of this information out. Some of it's easier than others. Obviously, the police returns were not obvious to you, but the police returns, for example, is extremely easy because we report that as a separate line. We have retirement for all other employees, and we have retirement specifically for police because they have a separate retirement system with New York. Program is conducted to students who are their own separate retirement system under New York State. So that's easy to pull out. Some other things, not so much, but we've done our best effort. So I'm sorry I don't have this in front of you, but I'll give you the details. And obviously, this will be made available after the fact. But as you've seen, the current police department budget is about a little over $3 million. That's the departmental expense. Out of that expense, out of the $3 million, $2.75 million is what's called personal services. Personal services is basically stuff speaks for what you consider salary. The rest of it breaks into categories like equipment, materials and supplies, travel and telephone, maintenance of equipment, contracts, which is a pretty big thing because there's a lot of you know, the state also dictates a lot of reporting requirements and software that has to be used. Uniforms, gasoline for the cars, so forth. So as again, I think the important takeaway is out of the $3 million, $2.75 million of that is personal services. I also looked at the building expense for 701 Union Street between utilities and, you know, basic things to maintain the building, that's about another $29,000. The police retirement contribution for this year is estimated to be $510,000. I also took a look at FICA. So obviously, you know, if you're paying somebody, you also have to pay Social Security and FICA taxes. That's 7.65% of personal services. So that comes out to about another $211,000. One of the harder things that we managed to get it done for today is to estimate the health insurance because, you know, bills come in, it's for a variety, you know, it's for people across not just the general fund, but all four funds that the city has, which includes cemetery, water, and sewer. But we were able to get a pretty good estimate on that, and that looks to be, and this is both for current employees and for the retirees, because we pay, the city pays for retirees' health care, not just the police, but for other employees as well. It's actually interesting because more than half of our health insurance expense are for retirees and not for current employees. That's, you know, not directly related to this, but indirectly related to this. Their apportionment of roughly of health insurance is about another $630,000 a year. I talked to PJ Keeler at the county office. We're going to talk more about this, but to get we get our workers' compensation from the county. And so I've been talking to PJ about seeing if we could come up with an estimate for how much of that is for the police department. We're still working on it. This is a rough estimate, but it's roughly about another $95,000. I can't really speak to the unallocated insurance. I had suggested that maybe the mayor's office could reach out to our insurance broker and ask them what a quote would look like if we had a reduced police force. But I think before we do that, we have to understand, you know, what, if anything, they're being replaced with. So, for example, when we talk about the police shouldn't be in the mental health management business, well, they might not be, but that means somebody else has to be, and I, you know, don't know what the insurance implications of that would be. So I did not include that one. And as Tom said, when you add up all of those, it comes out to about $4.5 million.
So a couple of things you need to know. Hudson's budget works on a January to January basis. So we're not really in a budget. We're not creating a new budget at this time for the next year. That happens, it begins somewhere in September, and continues through November. As I've told a number of you in emails, I've always wanted that process to be open. It is now open, but of course, we're hindered by a very difficult budget document. And I hope by the time of this next budget hearing, we have a document that you'll be able to read more easily. For example, you, I've had questions about very specific elements in this budget, and they're hard to pull out without a more accessible budget document. I've had a number of questions, which I will talk about shortly, that were submitted, unfortunately, at 4 o'clock today, so they're kind of hard to address because they're not simple answers that you can just sort of pull out of the budget document. But before we get to that and to your questions, council members have priority in asking questions, and Eileen has her hand raised. Eileen.
I do.
Eileen Halloran.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good. Heather, of those numbers that you went through, I believe those numbers are all driven first by contractual obligations that are negotiated with the union, and then from that, things like health insurance and retirement, that all flows. How much would you say within the budget, the 4.25 or the 4-point number that you have, would be discretionary, if any?
Very little. And just as an FYI, the council and the council did approve a new police contract just in January of this year. It's a 4-year contract, so that obviously dictates a significant portion of the cost, and you know that's been ongoing for decades.
I want to point out that that contract was approved very much under duress. The council was denied participation in the process, much over my objection and objection of others on the council. For example, this question of Heather rightly talked about insurance costs and how a lot of it applies to retired policemen. Well, that actual cost is not contractual, and it's not mandated by the state. And we were never allowed to make that information clear to those who participated in the actual contract negotiation. But it is true that we're locked into a 4-year contract at this point, which does not mean there aren't things we can do. Other councilmen, I see John and Rebecca. Do you have questions? Rebecca.
Could we all talk about what are the things that we can do? What are some possible ways that we can, revise within the parameters?
John, did you want to ask something? Did you want to say?
Yeah, everyone mute your phone.
Yeah, please, if you're not talking, please mute your phone.
Stop eating dinner. is it possible, if we could try to figure out how overtime is allocated? I know that's probably a contract issue, but I wonder if the chief or the department would be going to, they could have a discussion to figure out if there would be a way that they would voluntarily revise how they do overtime or scheduling to try to address some of these costs.
Overtime is definitely something that could be on the table, along with some of the other negotiable costs. But it's true, there's not a lot of room in the budget. But of course, as John and I have discussed in the past, there's definitely an opportunity for natural attrition. We do not need to hire when a policeman retires, necessarily. There is no obligation, despite what the various rumors out there about a mandatory number of police. It just doesn't seem to be true. Kamal has noted in the chat room that he, at the time, was chairman of the police committee and was denied to be on the union negotiating, to negotiate with the union. That's all, of course, water under the bridge. I want to address the questions that came from the Hudson for Social Justice Committee. They came at 4 o'clock, and I'll try to answer them as best we can. Will the community have access to the revised budget that incorporates the mayor's executive order for a 10% cut to the police fund? Well, I should surely hope so. And we don't know when that's going to happen, but you will certainly have access to it. And more importantly, which part of the budget does it refer to, the next year's budget or the current budget? That's for the mayor at some point to answer. How much money is currently allocated in the budget for the following items? Body cameras, training, surveillance cameras, new vehicles. Heather, as I recall, there's not a lot much, not much there. The body cameras were by a grant. I don't think we're giving them any new vehicles. And some
the body cameras were from a grant. There are ongoing licensing costs for them. I think it's in the, like, $1,000 a camera, $2,000 a camera range, so somewhere in the $20,000 to $40,000 or $50,000. We don't currently have any new vehicles budgeted for them. The vehicles that we most recently got were 4 years ago, and we're about to pay down the debt on that. What were some of the other things that they asked about?
Surveillance cameras and training.
I don't have enough visibility on either of those to answer, but not a whole lot. We don't have a whole lot of surveillance cameras around, so.
Agreed. This is an interesting question, and I don't know the answer. Because Hudson is the county seat, do the budget reforms to our local police department have any direct influence on those of other municipalities in the county? I would say probably not. In fact, I would think what's more interesting is that we do pay taxes to the county. So we probably should have some say in how the county spends on the sheriff budget. But I don't know the facts of that. Anybody, any idea? It's worth exploring, however. And lastly, they ask, are there plans in the executive order to set additional benchmarks in budget reduction for the police department in the long term? If not, would this be a goal of the new Reconciliation Advisory Committee? Certainly would be. I invite you all. I think somebody has circulated a copy of the police contract. What you can do with that at this point is not clear in terms of, you know, it's been signed for 4 years. But it's worth even looking at last year's budget contract and try to ask questions about what is mandatory, what's not mandatory, what can be changed. It's hard to answer those right off the bat, you know, at this time without a lot of preparation. But you have access to the budget. It's on the city website. And as I've said before, I've always found it a very difficult and almost unreadable document. But if you have questions, I'll try to get an answer for you, and I'm sure Heather will too. Eileen, do you still have your hand up, or is that your old hand up?
No, okay. That's the old one.
Okay, with that, we're open for questions. You want to raise your hand if you're on the visual? Or let's see, we got... The contract I see is in the chat room. Are there additional training costs? I think the training costs of the body cams are probably just the time spent, you know, as on duty. I doubt it's extra. But still, that's time taken up. Who's that?
I'd also add that the all the police officers, as far as I understand, and based on the mayor's presentation earlier, all police officers are currently using body cams. It's just that they're sharing them. So I don't think there's any additional training that's going to be required. There will be additional licensing costs, though.
So, other questions. This is thrilling to have 54 participants to a committee meeting. Zia, are you unmute, Zia? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, hi.
the mayor's there, thank you so much for your executive action yesterday. I just want to be clear, and this is obviously something for you to discuss, but I'm really curious about getting these numbers. Heather, thank you for giving us kind of breaking it down a little bit more, but making that, you know, getting that 4.5 million budget out in the world. They hope that the 10% cuts are going to be coming from the 4.5, not the 3.70, whatever it is, 2.whatever-something, 45,000 or 450,000 is, basically the youth program's budget. And it'd be really great to get put some of that money elsewhere. So hopefully, Heather, we can get that out as fast as possible, and hopefully, Mayor Johnson, that 10% is in reference to the 4.5 and not the 3 million. Thanks.
Anyone else? I can't see everyone. But let's see, if you go to the bottom to raise your hand emoji, that's Eileen. I can see that. Anyone I see want to ask a question? Tiffany? Tiffany, we got Tiffany. Tiffany?
Hello. Good evening.
Sorry, Tiffany.
Can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up, unfortunately.
I wanted to know, can it be a 20% cut?
I can't ask. that would be lovely, but it'd be rough. I don't know.
We can make it possible. There's a lot of programs. I mean, we all know for many, many years, the public has always been screaming out how the youth department, the senior citizens department, and so forth are underfunded, and so to speak. I know that with this council and the mayor, we can figure out these budget cuts and where the money can be useful and make that 20% happen. I know we can do it.
Well, the key, of course, is when we come to the budget hearings, Heather, it's September. Is that when we start? Mm-hmm. In September.
The departments have to provide their initial request by September 10th.
Right.
And then the BEA starts to review those and meets with the departments, and it has to be completed by November 10th.
And the BEA, for everybody's benefit, is Heather, myself, and the mayor. But more importantly, you're welcome to attend these meetings and to dig down into this budget document with the rest of us. I hope we can get, even more details available in the document itself, to make it easier to figure out what is cuttable, what can we change, what we can't change. I've said this many times, but if you look at the city of Kingston and look at their budget document, which is many, many more pages than our own, but on every page you can find out what is contractual, what is not contractual, and it breaks down every under personal services. In that document, you will learn what everybody makes. You can, of course, already do that, as been pointed out in the chat room, by going to See Through New York. But that really should be part of our document. Everything should be in that document, and you should be able to be part of that discussion.
I think we should just also broadly...
Go ahead, Heather.
I have a point of just comparison, so people could think of overall as you try to develop a new strategy, to what you think about the police department relates to our community and what kind of costs we want to bear. Hudson definitely has one of the higher per capita police costs in the New York State. The size of our department is pretty large relative to the size of our community. And just for a point of comparison, today in the news, I heard Pittsfield, Massachusetts, which has a population of around 43,000 people, their police department budget is about $11 million. And ours, under 7,000 people, pushing 5 million. So that's in terms of what our resources are and how we choose to allocate for police going forward. So.
I also just want to, while I agree with Tom in terms of the improved visibility of the budget, the fact of the matter is we're constrained by the software that we have. I've looked into software that would allow us to do something like the Kingston budget. It would cost approximately $325,000, which is more than the entire treasurer's budget for the year. So I just want to temper expectations. I mean, we were able to pull out the stuff for the police, but that was a 2-week manual labor job. So while we continue to look for opportunities to do this, I don't want people to think there's going to be a magic solution in a couple months, because all of this will have to be continued to be done manually based on the way that we have the software. There's no way to cross-categorize, for example, the police retirement, so this also shows up in a different category, unless we do it manually, which is what I've been doing in Excel. So,
any other questions? Let's see. Let me check the chat over here.
Rebecca has a question, Tom.
Who does?
Rebecca.
Oh, okay. Why aren't you? Okay, there you go, Rebecca.
Is there a way to see, I mean, just what Tom is identifying as the parts of the budget that are open to revision? Like, is there some way to produce a version of the budget that identifies what is contractually fixed and what isn't?
The budget does have that information in it now. The reality is that to make significant cuts in the police budget as it stands, you would either have to get the police to make some significant concessions compared to what their contract currently calls for, or you're going to have to reduce the number of police.
Mm-hmm.
The contractual stuff is very inflexible. I mean, I'd say, and that whole, if you're not talking about, you know, reducing or eliminating contractual benefits from their contract, and if you're not talking about eliminating officers, I don't think there's more than maybe $50,000 in that $4.5 million budget that, you know, truly discretionary.
Well, obviously the discussion then has to be we have to be talking about decreasing the force. As one of the chat room members points out, now, you know, 15 of our policemen are now earning over $100,000 a year. Now, that's fine while they're in service, but remember, when they retire at, say, 45, their pension is based on that for the rest of their lives. And by the way, one of the things I identified when we were going through the budget that is not mandatory by the state is another thing they get for the rest of their lives is a health plan that far exceeds what any other civil servant gets. Now, you might argue while they're in service and, you know, at greater risk, it makes sense that they have a better health plan. However, once again, someone retiring at 45 gets that health plan for the rest of his or her life. So, you know, there are definite things we can talk about here.
And Tom,
yes.
Going to the retirement point,
yes.
Just as an interesting thing. So we have 26 police officers and roughly, you know, ballpark 100 employees. The police retirement expense is almost twice as high for those 26 employees as it is for the other 60 employees in the non-police retirement benefit. So, and that's because, obviously, they retire earlier. They tend to have significantly higher salaries than the rest of the civil service workers. It's a big
nut. It's worth pointing out that we're currently in litigation concerning a retirement benefit. Not to vilify the union or the police officer involved, but the benefits written to the contract are ambiguous at this point, and allow for a building up of payment for the last year or 3 years, depending on how you read the contract, and thereby allows the officer to retire at a much higher rate than would have happened under their normal or previous salaries. I urge you to look into that. It's posted on the city website if you'd like to learn more about that current litigation. Okay, let's see. We got Hudson Comer. I'm trying to read some of these comments. Footage. Indeed, this body camera storage is one of the costs that will become quite expensive. Megan Reinhardt, I hope that's true, that we will, that if we figure out a way to intervene in cases of mental health, addiction, and homelessness, that it might lead to fewer police officers who, while they might be trained in that, probably don't have the necessary experience. Look, this is all very, you know, I'm happy that this conversation is finally taking place on such a broad scale. But there's no, I wish Heather or I or any other members of the Common Council or the mayor could have an immediate solution. However, the mayor's pledge to a 10% reduction is huge. And the sooner we get there, the better off we'll all be, I think. More questions? All these people and no more. Oh, Elizabeth Dickey, that's the ask to unmute. Why aren't you unmuting? Okay, you gotta unmute. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, the other thing I was just thinking about is that, Tom, in addition to your point about looking to make cuts to things like pensions and this like high level healthcare, it's also, you know, obviously.
I don't know what that is, but we'll go.
So in addition to making those cuts, I think also it's important to keep in mind as we figure out what are the discretionary or contractual line items where we want to make the changes to see a different kind of police force in a town, not just like how do we move money from that budget by, you know, sort of cutting back on healthcare, pensions, but also figuring out, is it fewer officers? Is it a different style of community policing? Kind of to Heather's point earlier, if they're not going to be responding to possible like mental health calls or whatever, where do we distribute those funds meaningfully outside of the police budget?
I think those are the goals of the mayor's Advisory and Reconciliation Commission.
Yeah.
I think the mayor's on this call, but I don't see his number.
Well, those commission.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I didn't know if I had talking capability.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly the goal of the new committee. And, you know, I stand by that 10%, and, you know, we're going to figure it out.
Rebecca, did you have a question?
Oh, I was just curious if the commissions are going to also be open, like, public meetings, the commission meetings, the Reconciliation Commission meetings?
Yeah, we want it to be as much community input as possible. And right now we have a chance, as our governor kind of said, to kind of scope how we want, you know, our police officers to serve and protect us.
Anyone else?
Tom, this is only, it's just a comment.
Okay.
With everything that the mayor is talking about with that board and reimagining, you know, the police, it seems like now is the right time to start that. So then when the budget process kicks in, that's when you'll see what the impact is from what the public wants and what the city can deliver at what.
That's a good point. I think you're right. People could start digging into
We're looking to start right away. So I am accepting letters of interest. You can email them to me at mayor@cityofhudson.org. And we're going to be planning on our first kind of community conversation. I should have a date for everyone at the start of next week.
Okay. Again, the budget's on the website, and if you have questions, we're all available, and by we I mean myself, Heather, the mayor, are available to answer specific questions about budget items. I guess that's it. If I don't see any more questions, I want to thank you all for coming to tonight's meeting. It's 53 participants is a real show that people are motivated about this issue. And
can I ask Heather a quick question?
You sure can, Eileen.
It's not related to this. There's a resolution tonight, resolution number 8, about paying CEDC to administer the grants from the tourism board.
Yeah.
I have not seen that resolution.
Okay, my question, Heather, was, and I'll bring it up tonight to whoever put this up for us, but I assume that's going to come from the tourism board funds that
yes.
they already have.
Absolutely.
Okay, I wasn't sure with the wording what the intention was. Thank
okay.
you.
But anyway, one last thing.
That's been vetted by our lawyers and everything
yeah.
as well.
The documents that Heather's referred to are all will all be on the website from tonight's meeting, including her predictions for the financial outlook for the rest of the year. So even if when we do get this 10%, it looks like most of it will just have to cover the gaps in our budget for this year related to the pandemic. But we'll see. Anyway, thank you all for coming, and 7 o'clock, another meeting, if you're up for it. See you, bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you. Shaheen, can you set up a ZBA link for tomorrow?
Believe it or not, he's not running this meeting. He's running he runs the council one.
Okay, can you ask him to set up a link for
yep.
tomorrow?
Yep.
Thank you, Tom.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Bye, Linda.
Bye.
Hi.